St. Paul, in his letter to a group of early Christians, the Romans, which we get the New Testament book Romans, shares this with his audience and the recipients. And I share this with you this morning. This was our second reading from today. So if you'd like to open up your worship bulletin once again to track along a little bit from our second reading, the epistle reading, Romans 10, or if you'd like to turn to the back portion of your bulletin to take some sermon notes, I encourage you to do so. I trust the Lord will lay something on your heart and my heart today that he wants us to take out with us to share with the community that needs to know about Jesus Christ. If you need something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and our ushers would be glad to get something to you. But let me share this with you from Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul shares this with these early Christians. He says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Something else I'd like to share with you, just to give you a little context. And one of the things, whether you're just starting to pick up God's word, or maybe for the first time ever, let me share this with you. Context is king. Sometimes what happens is a verse will get divorced, out of the context within which it's nestled. And sometimes when that happens, that word can be twisted and shaped and formed to say a number of things. But I'd like to challenge you to join me as a student of God's word to keep passages within their context. So let me set the stage that way for us. So in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul shares this contrast with us. And if you've been with us in our adult Bible class, you've heard some of this already from our group discussion. And if you haven't been already, I encourage you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock in the terminal part of the building, the edge, door number 4, to talk more about this and to have a discussion about what God is doing for us in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul sets up this contrast for us. A man-made righteousness versus God's righteousness. If you're wondering what that is, this might be a good time to take some notes. Because what was going on in the Apostle Paul's day, actually, sadly enough, still happens today. And maybe you've caught glimpses of this, and maybe you've been introduced to glimpses of this, or maybe you've heard glimpses of this, maybe even this past week like I have. But what's going on with this early group of Christians is just this. Something had found a way into Paul's audience that was leading them to believe that they could cultivate, they could craft something, they could make something themselves that would put them in a right relationship with God. Paul, in his writings, out of love, reaches out to this group of early Christians and says, God is doing this wondrous thing for people in Jesus Christ. But sadly enough, there's a group that wants to hang on to this idea that they can do it themselves. Paul, in his love for them, reaches out and says, hold back to what Christ himself taught. Hold to what the early church disciples are teaching. That is just this, that God puts you in a right relationship with him, not because of stuff that you do for him, but because of what God does for you through Jesus Christ. Now that's the message. And somewhere along the way, things are starting to get blurred, and people are taking a detour that God never intended for them to take. And sadly enough, that happens today. Let me give you an example of this from my friend Mark. Mark is a Christ follower like you and me in a situation and maybe a community that's not too dissimilar from maybe where you and I live today. Mark and his wife Amy moved into a new community and being the social butterflies they are, they decided to go out and to meet their neighbors. So they'd go around the people to the homes in their cul-de-sac one by one and knock on the doors, you know. You have to use your imagination. And they go up to the neighbors and they say, hi, we're Mark and Amy. We just moved here. And then the question that followed was this, well, where are you from? Well, Florida originally. Okay, well, then the next question. And you probably heard this too. Well, what do you do for a living? And Mark said, well, actually, I'm a church worker. And you know what happened next? Closed door. Sadly enough, that was a consistent experience for Mark and Amy during the first part of their time in a new city and a new community. And I wonder if maybe you've had an experience like that before. I think the easy thing to do is to stop right there and say, well, they're just closed off, enough said. But with the love of Christ, I have to take a moment and step out of my own way and ask the question, okay, the door was closed in my face, but has something happened in their life where the door was closed in their face? Sadly enough, was it done by the church? Was it done by well-meaning Christians? So in other words, was it easier to know Jesus and to know what the church is supposed to be about? Or did somebody, something, make it hard for them to see Jesus? Did something, someone, hide Jesus? Put him behind a building, behind a wall, behind a door, where it was really hard to hear about his love and his heart for people? And that was a question that Mark and Amy were asked over the first several weeks and months of their time in a new city, in a new community. And some of the questions that my wife Kara and I ask as new people to the Fort Wayne area in our community as well. Has something happened in this person's life that has pushed them away from Jesus Christ and his church? If so, what was it? Paul shares this in that same passage, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and following. Let me share this with you. Paul says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." I kind of have to ask the question, what kind of message is the church today bringing to people? You ever ask yourselves that question? What is the message the church today is bringing people? I'm not talking about this building. I haven't seen this. I have yet. We live just a couple blocks this way. I have yet to see this building rip itself up from the foundation and walk around the community and broadcast something. And I think sometimes we think the church is a building, but really it's you. So when you leave today, the church goes where you go. So when you go to work tomorrow, guess what? The church is there. When you go to school tomorrow, guess what? The church is there. When you go to Starbucks for that refill, guess what? The church is there. Where you go, the church goes. But sometimes I have to wonder what the message is that people are hearing. To borrow from that first passage, the word is near you. Mark and his wife Amy continued in their efforts to get to know their community, to go out to their neighbors, to meet them. And he shares this with me. He says, you know, we tried a number of parties. We tried a number of garage get-togethers, some cul-de-sac things. He said, but no one would show up. He said, we'd have the food all set out, the drinks all set out, we'd have chairs, we'd have this nice, open, warm environment, and yet we'd sit in our garage, they'd sit in their garage, they'd sit in their house, and they'd stay there, and there was no interaction. So Mark said, at a certain point, we had to readjust and reevaluate. Were we doing something that was pushing people away from Jesus or giving them more access to Jesus and the church? So he said they started to look for opportunities to connect with their community and with their neighbors, with what their neighbors were already up to. And if you've been with us the last several months, I hope and pray that these are some of the things you're starting to see here with Praise Lutheran Church. That we're a group of people saved by the grace of God for us in Jesus Christ that are taking our faith outside the building to meet people where they're at. And my hope and prayer is that what we do here on Sunday mornings, what we do with our events and our classes, equips us to do what Mark and his wife did. And this is what happened. So after a little bit of time of working with his neighbors, their neighbors, working with projects and different events, family get-togethers and so forth, little by little, those closed doors, well, they started to open a little bit. One day, and Mark shares this with me, he says, one day we found out that a neighbor's wife, a neighbor's girlfriend is expecting. And not long after she gave birth, at the same time, actually, that Mark's wife, Amy, gave birth. So it gave the two wives something to talk about. And then, of course, Amy and the other young lady fell into a really tough season of life with postpartum depression. Over the course of the next several days, weeks, and months, they had the opportunity to go on walks and to talk about life and to share things with each other. And it was in the context and the strength of that relationship that the neighbors got to see this in action, that the word is near you, that Jesus Christ is near people, closer than they know, But sadly enough, sometimes things get in the way, and it's hard to see Jesus, and it's hard to hear Jesus. But Mark and his wife Amy continued to engage with this couple, with his family. And then one day, the topic of baptism came up. They talked about the grace of God for people through baptism, about what God does through the waters of holy baptism, how he places his name upon a child, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, a gift of God's grace, nothing that you have to work for or earn or be good enough for. But you know what? Somehow, somewhere along the way, a different message had gone into this family's household and into their lives, because this was the question that this young lady asked Mark's wife, Amy, about baptism. She said, "Is my son Lincoln good enough to be baptized?" You see, somewhere along the way, something had infiltrated this family's house and their hearts and their minds and their lives to the point that they were led to believe that God's grace is just something that you need to add to, that you need to be good enough to be in this place to receive. But that's not Jesus Christ. And today we're blessed to experience part of that grace for you and for me when we come to Holy Communion, where God comes to you and to me through the bread and the wine with his body and his blood, and he says, "For you." And I don't know what you've been told, and I hope and pray it's nothing similar to what this couple was told. But God's grace is a free gift for you. God's love is a free gift for you. What Jesus did on the cross into the empty tomb was a gift for you. It's nothing you have to earn. It's nothing you have to work for. It's nothing you have to be your best self for. It's a gift because God loves you. And I don't know if you need to hear that today, but I'm glad to share that with you. God loves you where you're at. And this was the message that this couple, this family was craving, because somewhere along the way, they were led to believe that grace is something you need to be good enough for, and that is not Jesus Christ. And it's in that conversation, in that kind of context, that lives changed. It was in that context that the conversation about baptism took place. And it was through that word on the street, evangelism, relationship building, this little boy was baptized. John, one of Jesus' first disciples, puts it this way for us. John 1, verse 14, he says this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This word, Jesus Christ, is near you. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what kind of season of life you're having. I don't know what kind of theology has worked its way into your household, into your head, into your heart. But this word, Jesus Christ, comes to you out of love for you. Not because of what you do for him or what you're trying to do for him, but because of his infinite and unconditional love for you. And this is the message that your neighbors and my neighbors need to hear. This is the message that your classmates need to hear. This is the message that your coworkers need to hear. So my hope and prayer today is that God would continue to open up opportunities for us to bring this kind of message and this kind of word to people who need to hear it today. And maybe, just maybe, today you're that person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we come before you in the strength of a promise made to us through Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to reform our understanding and our idea of evangelism and outreach. We pray, Lord, that you would move us away from this idea that it is some kind of church program that happens in a building, and we pray that you would shape our hearts and our minds to see that it's something that happens in the strength of a relationship when your word and your Holy Spirit are present. We pray that in this situation with Mark and Amy and their family and their neighbors, we pray that as you did for them, you would do through us. Not only as the congregation of Praise Lutheran Church, but as individuals, as families who go out with the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ for us. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to motivate us, not with guilt, but with grace. Father, sometimes it feels like we carry a lot of guilt, and there's a lot enough of that to go around as it is. But Father, today we pray that you would motivate us through your grace, the grace of God that finds us where we're at, that pushes past walls and doors and windows and meets us where we need it most. So Father, I pray for all of us here today. I pray that your grace would find us where we're at. I pray that your grace would guide us and lead us where we need to go. And I pray, Lord, that grace would see us going to people who are desperate to hear about an unconditional love for a Savior who lives for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.